How many of you had a good Thanksgiving holiday, enjoyed it, family? Yes, good time. And what a nice season. All through December, there'll be all kinds of, here we'll have a children's music concert, GGCA. In January, there is a play from the school. Just kind of stay connected. And there'll be caroling on the street also. I think there's 10 or 15 different groups. Pastor Jason, if you want to join in, let's say you live in Parkville and you just say, I wonder when in Parkville they're going to be singing. So we have a schedule and you can jump in and join. If you're a good singer, we need you. If you're not a good singer, stay home. No. If you're not a good singer, come anyway. Because I'm an example of that. Jesus came into the world, and he is real. And he is for everybody in the world. There is something in your heart and in your mind that you have to process, and that is Christ the only way to God? Is he the only Savior? Is there some other way? God will teach you and guide you in understanding this subject. But it's very important because he came and no one like him, and he did something no one could have ever done unless he was God. God did this for us. And so we have the first point up on our screen here is inside you, what is it that you have? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we will give some definition here. We have a man or a woman with the outer man, and the outer man is where usually people live. This is a term used in the end of Romans 7. We have it here too in principle. We have people living by their natural preferences, capacities, intelligences, their natural disposition, their culture, their natural self, the outer man. When Jesus came into the world, he told us, you need to lose your life. If you lose your life, you will gain it. What does it mean, losing my life? I have a natural love for my family, for life itself, perhaps. My aptitude for mathematics or language or music or art. My personality, my life, the life that you and I live, is a natural life. We call it the outer man. But if the outer man is broken, that means that we bring our natural self before God and we are submitted to God, then the inner man, this heart I just drew in the middle here, this is where you really live, the inner man or the spiritual man. And when I became a believer, I became very interested in this understanding, because I wanted God to be real in my life. And I didn't think it was a function of personality. I felt it was deeper. It's something more. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the reality of God in your life, in your heart. It's love, the love of God in your heart. Romans 5:5. also wisdom. It's understanding. So let's read the text here, chapter 3. And we have Paul describing this to the Corinthians. And he talks about the letter kills. Look at verse 6. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter? Of the letter. What does that mean, the letter? Here, let's put this down here. The letter, I'll put here, of the law. Okay, letter. What does he compare it to? The letter of the law in distinction to the Spirit, verse 6. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You see, you can quote the Ten Commandments, and someone hearing the law and the letter of the law, it kills you, condemns you. You are guilty. You don't have life. Maybe you don't want to hear it. You don't want religion. I don't want really religion in one meaning of the word religion. A lot of religion in the world. There's a lot of religion in the Christian world, in the Islamic world, the Buddhist world, the Hindu world. There is a lot of letter of the law, or on the outside, the outer man being religious. But inside, he's empty. Inside, there's no life. There's no change. There's nothing inside in his heart. And Paul said, we are ministers not of the letter, but of the Spirit. We are ministers of life. We have love, joy, liberty. And then he explains how it is. He says here in this chapter, he uses Moses and says that Moses had the glory of God on his face, but he had a veil over his face. Could I have that? Do we have a jacket over there? Pastor Eugene, just come on, bring it up. In 9 o'clock, we used his jacket and use it as a veil. Thank you. Thank you. So we have Jewish people looking at Moses, and Moses' face is glorious, and he had a veil over his face, so you couldn't see the glory of God. And this is a metaphor of what happens in our lives. There is Christ, but it's almost like I can't see Jesus, really. I see the veil. But I see the outer side, the outer man, or I see the veil. I can't see beyond the veil. I think it happens with our church. We have a church here. Our fellowship people come in. They might not see what is really here. How about with somebody that you know in the Lord, and you know them, and you can't see their inner man or who they really are, because there's a veil there. And also, how about when you read the Bible? It might be when you read the Bible, there is like a veil over the Bible, and you can't see the Messiah. You can't see the purpose. You don't see the plan. You don't see God when you read the Bible. You live your life. You can't see God as you live your life. Drive your car in the Beltway, get home, eat out of the refrigerator, watch some news, fall asleep. You don't see God. You believe in God, but you don't see much. This is very common for all of us. Let's read the text. Chapter 3, verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not look to the end of that which is abolished, meaning the law. They couldn't see the point, but their minds were blinded, verse 14. Their minds were blinded. How much of that happens in our lives, you know? So we turn to the Lord. We turn to the Lord, not to our outer man, but we turn to the Lord by faith. We humble ourselves before the Lord and we say, I don't know, I can't see. Help me, open up my heart and my mind. Fill me with your spirit. If you'd like to just make a quick turn to Romans 7, well, we've got the screen, so you don't need to turn. But let's put it up on the screen in verse 25, Romans 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Do you see that? I think Romans 7 is a great chapter on this. It would help you if you want to read that today. Go back to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So when the Jew is reading the Old Testament, it's just like this, that they're reading the Old Testament, but they can't see. They don't see the Messiah. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. If you read Isaiah 53, when I meet a Jewish person and we get to talk a little bit, I say, would you do me a favor? Would you read Isaiah 53 when you get home? And often they say, yeah, I could do that. Read Isaiah chapter 53. So that's just a, you know, and pray for them. Because when they turned to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It happened to the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was blind for 3 days, and we just implicitly understand that Paul, knowing the scripture, just these scriptures opened up to him, and he became a mighty believer. Okay, go to chapter 3, verse 15. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So this is a very good, cool thing. This is on my heart. Actually, my heart gets hard sometimes. I get cynical or unbelieving or hard-hearted, and there's a veil. I can't see the Spirit, the glory of God. I don't see God. I don't see Him in my heart, in my life. This is the meaning of the text, because it says it. Read it with me. Chapter 3, verse 16, when it shall turn to the Lord. It means when you turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. What happens? The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's put here this big word, liberty. What do you mean? It means the greatest problem we have as people is our sin. And when we are free from our sin. We have liberty. The Spirit is the Spirit of liberty. You are free. It is real. You're not pretending. It's not artificial. It's genuine. It's God, the Spirit of God in you, and you have liberty. You don't have to prove anything. You are free. You're not in bondage. You're not afraid. You have liberty. The Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, when the Spirit came on the church there in Jerusalem where Jesus had been crucified, there was a lot of reason to be afraid. But they weren't afraid. They had courage. They had faith. They had liberty. They could preach in front of their enemies. They had joy. So this is what we all want to happen in our lives. We want this to be real for us. Look at verse 18. But we all with open face. What's it mean, open face? Like open face, right? Like what does it mean? It actually, I think of it this way. Halloween is when you wear a mask. And for some people, every day is Halloween. They're always wearing a mask. You know, always we are putting on our best projection. We're like giving the impression. It's like hypocrisy. We are showing that we are good, but inside we are somehow struggling. Maybe we give the impression of happiness, like Thailand, I think, is the land of 10,000 smiles or something like this. And they smile a lot. It's beautiful, actually. But what's happening really inside? So when you have an open face, yeah, it means you are open face before God. And the face of God inside changes you. You are released. The inner man is released because you are broken. The outer man is broken. And you are released in your ministry. You have life, you have love, you are quiet, you are wise, you are real, you are free, you are changed. Look at verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. I think of the mirror being the Bible. We're able to look at the Bible. Remember the Jews reading the Bible like this. The veil is there, but there's no mirror. There's nothing there that's reflecting back to you. But when the veil is taken away, one lady said to me this morning at the door, she said, I want to tell you, since I've been coming to this church, I've been reading my Bible, and I love my Bible. She said, since I've been coming here, my Bible is speaking to me. It was a good word for, you know, to hear. Awesome to hear that. Well, why? Because 18 says we are not with a Halloween mask like before God, but we took it off. We're broken. We admit. We are submitting, we are before him, and we're looking into the Bible, and we are seeing the glory of the Lord and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. We have something going on. I like to say it that way. You have something going on inside. So there's the outer man, but then you have your inner man, and there's something going on, you know. It's joy. It's life. It's ministry. You have it. this is normal for us. We have it. We have some things quietly or, you know, forcefully really happening inside in our hearts. Coach Lynch had an alumni and Jen alumni games at the gym on Tuesday. And I think he told me there were 100 young guys that came out to play basketball on Tuesday night. And they know in their hearts, they know, like a lot of them, they know what this is. They have seen it. And you know, when we are in church, this is why we come, because there is the hope that there's something going on inside in my heart. Because the outer man isn't satisfied. What about the outer man? What is he doing? He's socializing. He's shopping. He's talking. He goes to the pub. He's lonely. He's looking for relationship. The outer man is smart. He's or not. He has a job or not. He's depressed or not motivated. He has an outer man, and people live with the outer man governing their life. And it's not good. It's not satisfying. It doesn't satisfy. No, it's what you need. What we have found is Jesus. We found Jesus. So therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, I put here ministry, many expressions of the ministry. It's the Spirit that is in your heart, and you have a ministry. You might say, well, I'm not a pastor, or I'm not, you know, in the ministry. Yeah, but you have a ministry. You have one. You have a ministry from what you see. From what you see, the glory of God. Then you speak from there. You live from there. You have something going on for like your lifetime. You have a ministry. You have an influence. You have something in your heart. You can think about the rest of the world and say, do you know, I really believe that people in Vietnam really need what I have. What I have, I really believe they need what I have. But I don't think I'll be so concerned about missions unless I really have something that's worth giving away, worth ministering. I won't, unless I have what Jesus came to give me, then if I went somewhere, what would I have to give them? But we have. That's why graduates from our school and people from our church go to different countries by faith. They go by faith because how did this life happen inside in your heart? It was a life of faith. So let's read the text here, verse 1. Seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. I've tried to quit, to be honest. I have, early in my Christian life. I tried to quit. But I couldn't. I didn't. It was, who has this message? Who can talk to me like Jesus can talk to me? Who can help me like Jesus can help me? Who are these people that have a ministry? Where could I go to have so much fun without alcohol? And I don't want to spend my money on alcohol or pay the consequences otherwise, or I become a fool. or I've thrown my life away, or get married two or three times, maybe, because alcohol ruined my first and my second marriage, or a car crash, or any other things. As you can tell, I'm totally against it, alcohol. But I'd like to say, just to not lose the main point, and that is, when you find it, you can't replace it. A bottle of beer won't do it, and a new girlfriend won't do it, or a new job won't do it, or moving to Florida won't do it. It's got to be deeper than Florida, deeper than a girlfriend. It's got to be deeper. It's got to be deeper than your life and my life. It's got to be the inner man. And when we have the inner man, look at verse, it says, verse 1, we don't faint. I tried to quit, but where will I go? You have the words of eternal life. You quit for a little while, but there's nothing as exciting as a life where we will follow Jesus and Jesus will be personal with you. Remember when Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going to go away. What did they say? Right away, we're going with you. Because this guy is so cool. He is so awesome. He is so filled with life. It's such an adventure. I don't want to live without you. You are the one. You're the guy. You are God. How about that? Is that amazing? That's amazing. Well, why would it be any different from the first century? Why wouldn't in the 21st century we have that same thing going on in our hearts? I love my church. I love my Bible. I love the adventure. I love the faith. I love the presence of God. I love who Jesus is. I love the mission. I love the purpose of it. I love the authority of it. And I love the liberty that is in it. It's all good. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And you've got to renounce the things that you do at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now I know that I'm not trying to be cute about it. I just wanted to be serious about it. There are things that are done in darkness, behind a closed door, on the phone or on the social media or whatever it is that is done in darkness. I read in Roman history by this historian, his name is Juvenal, another scholar wrote about it. He said that this one woman in Roman times, you could get divorced so easily. She was on her 24th husband. 24th, and she was married to a guy who had been married 25 times. Yeah, that's the way it was in a pagan world. And that's where we're going, sisters and brothers. That's where our country is going. It's into neo-paganism. It's a perverted world. But we are Christians. We are different. I don't apologize for it. We are part of the greatest civilization that has ever existed. We are people with character. We are people with conviction. And we renounce the hidden things that are done in secret. We renounce them. We don't have any part of them because I have an inner man who is holy. Amen? The inner man that is moving, that sees the glory of God, you see the wisdom of God, and you renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. By the way, there's a book written by William Barclay called Ethics in a Permissive Society. That's where I read that, by the way. Ethics in a Permissive Society, a very interesting historical view of how we are different. And this is written in 1971. We are 50 years beyond it, and it applies even more. And I want to preach from there sometimes about having sex with your wife. After you are married, you have sex with your wife, your girlfriend who becomes your wife. And only then, no premarital sex, no living together. No, that's not Christian. We are Christians. Whoa. What are you talking about? You are weird. No. We have an inner man. I'm serious. That inner man has a sense of God. And God teaches him how to live. How to renounce the things that are dishonest, immoral. We are different. And by the way, maybe I don't want to be different, but I am. I am. You are too. We are. We are different. Enjoy it. I don't know about you. I'm enjoying the difference. They are suffering. We are enjoying that presence of Almighty God, who is a holy God, an awesome God, living God, who is the God of our joy, our freedom, our peace, and our wisdom. So that'll come in the future, that message. Okay. Let's go to the mission here. Go down to verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And there are people that could care less about what we're preaching about today. It's amazing how they live like lemmings following one another over the cliff. It's amazing how we have a herd instinct and we go with the group. What's cool? What's popular? Oh, it's so easy. And to many of them, the gospel is hid. But if you've eaten poison long enough, you might be looking for some good food. If you've been deceived long enough, or you are proud, we as people are proud and arrogant and live long enough in our arrogance, we may open our hearts to God and say, God, teach me, give it to me. Whatever you got, show it to me. Virginity, you are for virginity, that a man and a woman, they would be virgins and get married as virgins. I want to hear about it. That is so unusual in the pagan culture, so unusual in the 21st century. But no, that is what I want to hear. I want to hear about it. I want you to teach me about it. I want to see something in life that is bigger than ourselves and our sin. Yeah. So verse 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which don't believe. Wow. That's quite a message, isn't it? Who's the God of this world? See, it says God, doesn't it? G, small g. Some little god, some god of this world. Who is the God of this world? That is Satan. A fallen angel who has a lot of power and can blind people's minds. And they are blind to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So what do we do? We are living in this world. They don't see what you see. Let me finish up here. They don't see what the world does not see what you see. What do they see? They see the veil, right? They see Jesus. Oh, who was Jesus? He was a prophet. That's all that he was. No, he was the Son of God. They look at the Bible. What is this? I don't understand any of it. I don't really care about it. They can't see it. But what do you see? Do you see it? You are the Son of the living God. Christ, you are the Son of... Who does the world say? You are Elijah or Jeremiah or a prophet. But who do you say? You are the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood did not show that to you, but my Father in heaven showed that to you. You keep that. That's precious. You see me. You understand this. And I want to send you into the world. I want you to go into the highways and byways. I want you to go to Central Asia. I want you to go to China and Korea and Japan. I want you to go to Africa and India and Latin America and North America. I want you to go, yeah, but if I go, what will you do? He goes, I will guide you. I will empower you. If they receive you, they receive me. As the Father sent me, I send you. And open your mouth, I will fill it. Psalm 82, verse 10. I will anoint you. You will have power. And this is it. I want to just share this. What will happen? The Great Commission. This one. The Great Commission. Go into all the world. I am with you with great power. You'll have a great message, the forgiveness of sin. I'll deliver people from demons. I'll cast demons out of people. We have seen that happen. You'll have great purpose in your life. You'll be bringing the message of Christ into the world. That'll change a life. Great results. And it is a great secret. People don't see it. They don't see the value of it. They don't understand it. But by God's grace, we do. We do it in Baltimore. We do it at the Timonium Fair, the state fair. We do it in Dundalk. We do it in Havre de Grace and Cumberland, up in Pennsylvania and Florida. No, wait, in Las Vegas, Chicago. No, wait, Canada, Mexico. We do it in Colombia, Argentina. Wait, no, Africa, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Zambia, Botswana. Really? Yes. People have gone. India, Asia, Central Asia. And what do you do when you come back? You just say, what is in my heart is real and it works for them. And they need it. They need a church. They need a pastor. They need answer to prayer. They need help in their families. They need the freedom, the liberty, and they have found it in Jesus Christ. And they continue in it. Because they also would like to get out of it. But where would I go? How could I get out of it? It is God. And I'd rather be with God on the corner of a housetop than in a big banquet hall with unbelievers. I'd rather be one day in the courts of God, one day as a doorkeeper, than 10,000 with the tents of the wicked. That people that are in unbelief have nothing other than the outer man, and they cannot see the glory of God. But you and I have been called to something deeper, and by that we have a ministry, and we care about others. So that's it. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we feel honored in our hearts today that we did not make this up. We read it. When you favored Abraham, you said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be blessed. And everybody that blesses you will be blessed. And you brought the Messiah into the world through Abraham. And that Messiah has come to us Gentile people. And we have seen his glory. We have beheld it as of the only begotten Son of God. Help us bring it. Wherever we go, at home, at work, in the military, at the university campus, in the cafeteria, on the street, in the hospital, the nursing home, wherever we go, all of our lives, may we open our mouths and share faith with people. And take away the veil, Lord, and save people. In Jesus' name. And then all the laborers in the world that are out there affiliated with us, may you pour your blessing on them and help them. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then anyone listening, you haven't yet started your Christian life with the inner man. Bring your outer man before God and say to God, I've done it my way, but now I yield to you and teach me your way. Lord, I have an outer man, but he dominates. He is controlling me, controlling my life, but I bring him to the cross. And I ask you, Lord, to fill me with your Spirit and guide me and lead me in Jesus' name. If I've never accepted Christ, do it today by saying, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I trust you. I pray. Amen.